Throughout the New Testament, you find this expression again and again that he mentioned: in Christ, through Christ, for Christ, in Christ. Thank you, Brother Brady, for that. Those true words that we need. No greater identity than to be identified with Christ. As Brother Brady said, I want to share some about where we're headed. But before we get there, I want to share some thoughts from Psalm 27 on seeking the Lord. So if you'll turn back there where we've been this week numerous times, pray that for just a few minutes this evening that our tired bodies and minds can focus on the Word again and receive blessing from the Lord through it. So Psalm 27, we'll read the last half of the psalm starting in verse 7, where David says, "Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy also upon me and answer me. When thou sayest, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. Hide not thy face far from me. Put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path because of mine enemies. Deliver me not over unto the will of mine enemies, for false witnesses are risen up against me, and such as breathe out cruelty. I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord." It is a wonder, it is a wonder that we could read these words, "Seek ye my face," and then the heart responding, "Thy face, Lord, will I seek." Last night, Brother Nathan talked to us about the presence of the Lord, and you remember how that he mentioned that Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden enjoyed the presence of the Lord, of the one who had created them, the one who had made them and formed them. They could walk, and we don't know all the details of how that looked, of what that looked like, but they could walk with God, and God welcomed them into his presence, and God had created this beautiful environment for them to enjoy him. And then they sinned against God. They broke the law of God. And he mentioned last night, what did God say? He said, "Get away from my face. Leave my presence. Go away from the garden. Go away from this paradise." So their sin, their rebellion against God, this moral, spiritual brokenness that Brother Brady talked about, this spiritual leprosy that we have in Adam, has caused us to be driven away from the face of God, to be driven away from his face. And so we look at Psalm 27 and we see David saying, or the Lord saying, "Seek my face." And David saying, "Yes, my heart says, yes, Lord, I will seek your face." So a lot had to happen for us to get from "go away from me" in the Garden of Eden to get to Psalm 27 where God says, "Seek my face." And the response is, "Yes, Lord, I will seek your face." We, as churchgoers, most of us read the scriptures, we hear expressions like "seek the Lord," "seek God's face," but I think if anything that Psalm 27 has done for me in meditating upon it, getting ready for camp, is the wonder that we can seek the face of God, and that God, this holy, righteous, exalted, mighty King that we've been singing praises to, welcomes us to seek his face, where we can come close and we can come near. But how could that happen? Look, if you will, in 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3. And before I read the text, let's just go back and think even more about this barrier between a holy, majestic God, a righteous God, and his sinful creations. So the Lord said to Adam in the garden, "Go away. Go away from my face. Your sin has disqualified you from my presence." But we remember when God chose a nation and he came to covenant with this nation, and he, through the building of the tabernacle, Psalm 27:4, through the building of the tabernacle, he devised a way where the people of Israel could come before him in some sense. But as God was establishing that arrangement, that covenant with Israel through Moses, you remember on Mount Sinai, when this holy God was giving the law, was giving this old covenant, giving the commandments. Remember what God said? He said, Moses, tell them don't come close to this mountain because I'm holy and they're not. Don't come close to the mountain. Don't even let an animal get close to here. Nobody gets close to here. Moses, you can come up and you can represent the people. You get my words and then you go back down to them. And it says that Sinai was a smoking furnace, that there was thunder and there was lightning and there was earthquakes. And Moses really didn't need to tell the people not to come. They didn't want to come. They said, Moses, you go up and you talk to him because we can't handle that. Because he's a holy God. He's different. He's set apart. We can't come close to him. And so God made the law and he made the tabernacle with the sacrifices and with the high priest. And in that most holy place, once a year, not all the people, but the priest could come in a certain way with blood, had to be with blood. And God said, I'll meet you there. I'll meet you around the mercy seat. I'll meet you around the place where that blood is shed. And so God was devising a way whereby the people could come back to him, could come into his presence. Look at 1 Peter 3:18. Here's what all of that tabernacle was pointing to. Here's what all of those sacrifices were pointing to. It was God showing us the only way that lepers can come into the presence of a holy God. 1 Peter 3:18. He says, for Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust. With what purpose? That he might what? That he might bring us to God. Being put to death in the flesh, but quickened, made alive by the Spirit. And so all that that tabernacle was pointing us to was to see Christ, to see this one perfect offering and sacrifice for sin, whereby sinners are brought to God. And so today, those who are in Christ, as Brother Brady has talked about, we can come into the presence of a holy God because a sacrifice has been made for sin, that has washed away sin, that has made us right in the sight of God, and we can come into the presence of the same God who Israel said, Moses, you go up, we can't handle it. We can come into the presence of that God and be comfortable. It doesn't mean that we treat God casually, but we can come into the presence of God as children to the Father. We can come into the presence of God with confidence. Ephesians 3:12 tells us that in Christ we have boldness, which means freedom and liberty. We have access, it says, and confidence through the faith of Christ. So that laying hold upon Christ, trusting in Christ's righteousness, trusting in Christ's one perfect sacrifice that removed our sin, we know that God meets sinners around Jesus. He meets sinners at Jesus, and so we can come boldly to God and seek his face and know him and draw near to him. We can do what Hebrews 4 tells us. We can come boldly to the throne of grace to obtain mercy and to find grace to help in time of need. So as we think about this week, seeking the face of God, don't lose the wonder of how that we can come before God through Christ, and don't lose the wonder that this is a blood-bought privilege through which we can come boldly to God. As we think about seeking his face, thy face, Lord, will I seek. There's a lot that probably has been said, will be said, overlapping sermons and messages. So the good news is that I don't have to say it all, and you're probably glad about that too. But I want to touch on one thing of what it means to seek the Lord's face. We seek him through Christ. We've already said it's the only way. But to truly seek the face of God is to seek God for himself. To seek God with the purpose of seeking God. Psalm 40 and verse 17, I'm going to emphasize some words for you. I think you'll understand why. David says, but I am poor. I'm sorry, verse 16, Psalm 40, verse 16. Let all those that seek thee, God, rejoice and be glad in thee. Let such as love thy salvation say continually, the Lord be magnified. Now, what do you think the psalmist is seeking there? He's seeking God. Let all those that seek thee rejoice and be glad. Their joy is in you, O God. Let such as love thy salvation's sake, continually the Lord be magnified. We seek God for himself. And what we mean by that is this, is that we don't seek God as a means to an end. So my dad has told this story hundreds of times. He probably told it at camp, but it gets the point across the best that I can do for this. My dad had a friend in high school who just lived a profane, godless, immoral, sinful life, didn't care a thing about the Lord. And one day this friend saw my dad, said, Zach, I've been praying all night long. And my dad thought, wow, man, God's working. He got a hold of this guy. He's been praying. He said, well, what's going on? He said, well, my brother, he has a job in Alaska. There was an earthquake up there. We haven't heard from him for days, and I'm just begging God that he's alive. Shortly thereafter, he found out the good news that his brother was alive. And what did he do? He went back to living a profane, godless, sinful, immoral, Christless life. Needless to say, that is not seeking God. What was the man doing? I have a quarter. I put it in the gumball machine. I turn the knob. I get the gumball. But he's not hugging the gumball machine, right? I want what you can give me. That was how it was with some in Jesus' day. There's loaves. There's fish. There's miracles. I can get healed from sicknesses. That's great. Praise God. I can be filled. He can do miracles. So I need to go get him to do a miracle for me. And there were some that truly sought the miracles because they needed the miracle done. They needed the healing, but they loved the healer as well. And then there were some who just said, give me the healing, but I don't really care so much for the healer. To seek God truly means that we seek him for himself. That we don't seek God as a means to an end. That we don't have this attitude of, man, I really need this scholarship. I'm going to start reading my Bible double duty so God will give me this scholarship. I want to get married. And I want her to be really good looking. And so, man, you talk about fasting and praying. I'm going to get with it. I'm going to seek the face of God. I need something, Lord. I need something. And listen, don't get me wrong. We do come to God with our needs, with every need. He wants us to. That's part of the father-child relationship. We pour our heart out to God. We bring every burden to him. We bring every need to him. But when we do that, we also recognize that when the blessing comes, it makes us want to go hug and kiss the one who blessed. So we appreciate the blessing, but we want to go love and bless the blesser. And then we also want to have the spirit of Job in those early days when the blessings, so many of them were taken away. And even when some of the most best blessings God could give a man on earth were taken away, Job said, I still love the one who gave the blessing. The Lord gave, the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Brothers and sisters, some of the best blessings that God gives us can be taken away. We don't want them to. We have to trust him with that. We have to know our times are in his hands, and he is sovereign, and he's a good God. He knows what's best for us. But we also know that some of his best blessings can be removed. But if you are in Christ, you cannot be removed from Christ. And if God is your Savior, your salvation, your redemption cannot be removed. It cannot be revoked. And if you've been brought into a relationship with God, that cannot be severed. It cannot be removed. And so to seek God means that we seek him not as a genie. Give me my wishes. I don't really care about you. To truly seek the face of God means that God is the prize. That God is the treasure. That he's the treasure. But let me look at a couple of more thoughts from Psalm 27 before I get to the best part of all, of where this is all headed. Sometimes, let's just be honest, it's hard to seek the Lord, isn't it? We see that expressed with David in Psalm 27, right after he says, my heart says to thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek, in verse 8. David says in verse 9, Lord, don't hide your face. Please don't hide your face. Hide not thy face far from me. Put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help. God, you've helped me. Don't leave me. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. So maybe David is dealing with some guilt here, or maybe it's just perceived guilt. Maybe it's just Satan speaking to him. Hey, Satan, God's, or David, God's not with you. God's not listening to you. God's not for you. So whatever it is, he's just said, I'm going to seek your face. And now he's saying, Lord, please don't go away. Please don't hide. I need you. You've been my help. Don't leave me. Sometimes it's hard to seek the face of God. Sometimes there's dry seasons of seeking the face of God when we are, and let's just say this, if there's sin that is blocking God's presence, if you will, blocking the sunshine of his face, then we know we have to repent. We have to deal with those sins, and that we seek to walk in humility and honesty and openness and transparency before the Lord. That's another sermon for another day. But when we are trying to be real with God and we're trying to read the word and we say, Lord, I think I'm being sincere. I'm trying to obey. I'm trying to follow you. And yet sometimes the Lord still feels far away. And you just probably just read the next psalm probably and you'll find that out. Because that's how David is. Sometimes it's, Lord, you're my joy, you're my delight. And sometimes it's, Lord, I'm in the desert, just pick me up from the dust. I'm about to die, I'm about to fall apart. Help me, O God. So sometimes it's hard to seek the face of God. But let me just bring some encouragement to you tonight. That note another command from this psalm, verse 14. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait. The repetition, wait, I say, on the Lord. When God seems far, far away, when you feel to be in the wilderness spiritually or in the desert, and you have searched your heart and you are trying to be real and sincere with the Lord, you know what you keep doing? And there's a lot that's going to be said to that, but let's just say this. You seek, you keep on seeking, and you wait. You keep on seeking, and you wait. So you seek the Lord again because you say, Lord, I don't have a plan B. There's not another Jesus. There's no other word. There's no other throne of grace. So we keep on seeking and we wait. We wait, and the word here means to wait expectantly. So we're waiting with trust. And as I think Lewis said the other day, we wait not just sitting and doing nothing, but we do what we know to do in the moment. We live in obedience according to the light that we have, and we wait on the Lord. You know, God is glorified in us when we are filled with felt joy, and when we are just ravished with the love of God, and we're filled with praise, and we're happy, and we're joyful, and we're seeing everything just right, and our perspective is wonderful. He's glorified in us in that. Brothers and sisters, God is also glorified in us, and I believe mightily glorified in us when we are dry, and we are in the wilderness, and we are in the desert, and we keep on seeking his face. And we keep on coming to his throne of grace. That we keep crying out to God. And we wait upon him. Because what we're saying is, Lord, even though I don't feel you right now, you're my prize. You're my treasure. I have nowhere else to go. And you know what the good news is, the wonderful news is? If you truly seek the Lord, guess what you will find? You will find the Lord. James 4, draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you. But as we think about this, and if you're a believer, you know this, these psalms speak to you. They make sense to you. They shed light, no doubt, on your own experience of this life of seeking the Lord's faith. A lifetime of seeking the Lord's face has moments of verses 1 through 3 when the Lord's my light, my salvation. I don't have anything to be afraid of. I'm fine. I'm sufficient. The Lord's my shepherd, I shall not want. I am in great shape. We know there's moments like that, days like that, and then days when we are, Lord, please hear me. Please have mercy on me. Please don't hide from me. Please don't leave me. God, I have to wait upon you, and I'm not going to quit waiting on you, but I don't feel you. We have this up and down life. It's a life of wait, of seeking the Lord's face that can be full, that is full, of challenges, full of burdens, full of different seasons, full of different trials, full of joys, full of sorrows. But you know some wonderful news? What is at the end of this journey? What is at the end of this life of seeking the face of God? If you just think with me for a minute, if you'll turn to Hebrews 11, and just think with me for a minute. Before I read the text in Hebrews 11 that I'm aiming for, let's think about the book of Hebrews for a moment. You know, many of you know the theme of the book of Hebrews, things that are better. or superior or greater. So Hebrews 1 talks about there's a greater revelation. Whereas God in Christ in the New Testament has given us a better revelation of himself and his will, a more full understanding of him and his grace and his salvation. It speaks about how that Christ is greater than the angels, that even though the angels are flaming spirits, that they are mighty messengers of God. It says, to none of those God said, let the angels worship him, but only to his son Christ. So Christ is a greater revelation, greater than the angels. He's greater than Moses, that mighty man who brought Israel across the Red Sea. Talks about that there's a better covenant with better promises. So the old covenant, and yes, pointed to Jesus, but in another great sense, it only exposed sin. It didn't provide the power to overcome sin. But Hebrews says there's a greater covenant, a greater arrangement God has made by which he puts away sin and remembers that sin no more and puts his laws into the hearts of his people and covenants himself, say, I will be your God and you will be my people. So better revelation, better than the angels, better than Moses, a better covenant, better promises, a better priest. Those priests that were limited, who were sinful, and who had a short duration of their priesthood. And Hebrews talks about a priest that is eternal and a priest who has no sin and who's pure and offers a better sacrifice that really and truly and forever takes away sin. It's all better, isn't it? Better with Christ. Better with the cross. Better with the covenant. And there's another better. There's another better in Hebrews 11. It tells us in verse 13. These these patriarchs, died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off and were persuaded of them and embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country. That is a heavenly. Wherefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. Believers in Jesus Christ, know this. Pilgrims and strangers, I'll call you. Know this, that at the end of the life of seeking God's face, that's full of ups and downs, that's full of pitfalls and frustrations and burdens and sometimes crushing sorrows, know this. That at the end of all this, there's a better country. And at the end of all this, if I can tell you that on this side of glory, that if you seek the Lord, here's what you'll find. You'll find the Lord. Well, guess what? After a long life of seeking the Lord, that others a shorter life as God sees fit of seeking the Lord, and you come to the end, guess what you find on the other side? You find the Lord like you've never found him before. That's why Paul could say, I'm between a rock and a hard place. I kind of want to stay and help y'all, but I want to go. I want to go and I want to be with Christ, that priest and that sacrifice and the great revelation of God. I want to go with him because it's far what? It's far better. And that's why Paul could say, my identity, who I am, is Jesus. To live is Christ and to die is what? It's gain. Well, what does that mean? What does that mean? If for Paul to live is Christ, what is to die is gain means? It means that he gets more of Christ. It means that he gets more of Jesus. It means that he gets more taste of an experience of that deep, abundant, abiding grace and love of the Son of God. There's a better country. A better country. So they sought as they lived a life of seeking the Lord, they were looking for that new heavens and new earth wherein righteousness dwells. So as we talked about, and Brother Brady talked about how that we ruined it in Adam in our sin, and paradise did become lost, and the curse did come, and the Lord did say, go away from my face, go away from my presence. And human history, just on a human level, is a history of the brokenness and the sin and the ruin and rebellion against God. But the scripture tells us that our hope and what God promises us is a new heavens and a new earth wherein righteousness dwells. meaning where all is as it should be under the rule and the reign of God, meaning no rebels against God's rule, meaning perfect harmony and fellowship with God and with one another. One more verse and I'll close. Part of this, what is at the end of the journey, to encourage us to keep seeking God's face, to motivate us to keep seeking Him and waiting upon Him when it is dry and when it is a wilderness, is to look and see what's at the end of the road, at the end of the journey, and that keeps us running the race. Jesus' words, His prayer to the Father for His people in John 17, 24. Here's the better country. Jesus prays for His people. He says, Father, I want something. I want something. Father, I will that they also, whom Thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which Thou hast given me. For Thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. Isn't that precious? Jesus praying. Jesus saying, Father, I want something. And I want those that You gave to me in covenant before the world began. Those who I shed my blood for. Those who are my bride. Those who are my brothers and my sisters. Those who are my people. Father, I want them with me. With me. Where I am. It's not go away. It's I want them here. I want them close. I want them with me. Why? So that they can behold my glory. Psalm 27:4, to behold the beauty of the Lord. Oh, we see it now. Oh, but this takes it up a bunch of notches, okay? I want them to be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, that for all eternity they may view my power and my grace and my love and my majesty, my holiness and my righteousness, and be with me and enjoy it with me. So as we think this week about seeking the face of God, oh, seek Him for Him. Seek Him and know that we can only seek Him through Christ, but seek Him for Him. And when it's dry and when it's a desert, seek and keep seeking and wait and be encouraged and be motivated to keep seeking, knowing what is at the end of the journey. God bless you.